The Public News Service Daily Newscast, July the 18th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump's efforts to dismiss criticism over his administration's handling of the Epstein files as a hoax showed no sign of working Thursday, as more prominent figures from across the political spectrum emerged to attack the U.S. president, and some of his supporters recorded videos burning their signature Made America Great Again hats. That from The Guardian, they report Trump's former VP Mike Pence told CBS News on Wednesday, "I think the time has come for the administration to release all of the files regarding Epstein's investigation." While the conspiracy theorist Laura Luma, a frequent close advisor to Trump, called for the appointment of a special counsel to handle the Epstein files investigation. And in New Hampshire, a petition campaign is underway to prevent summer power shutoffs due to unpaid bills.
Residents are calling on the state's largest public utility, Eversource, to extend its winter protection policy to include the hottest days of the year. Rebecca Bollier with the nonprofit 350NH says with energy prices rising and more frequent heat waves in New England, people's lives may depend on it.
I think people recognize how important it is to protect people from extreme heat, and also how Eversource is making record profits.
She says a summer moratorium is warranted, especially as the utility requests another rate hike from state regulators. Eversource says help is available for customers who need it, including flexible payment plans. I'm Catherine Carley.
Next to Wisconsin, where an Eau Claire resident is speaking out about how federal cuts to Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program could affect his life and his family's.
Oliver Wynn and his parents all live with disabilities. He says Medicaid has allowed him to have surgeries that have improved his quality of life to such a degree that he no longer needs a wheelchair. It also helps him pay for medication that would otherwise cost $5,000 a month. Wynn describes the forthcoming federal cuts to Medicaid and SNAP as terrifying.
It's going to change a lot of things for a lot of people, and I'm concerned for myself. I'm concerned for my family, my community. Everyone is going to be affected by this, and it's a very scary time to be living through.
It's estimated more than 276,000 people in Wisconsin could lose their Medicaid coverage, and another 90,000 risk losing their SNAP benefits over the next decade. One in eight people in Wisconsin depends on SNAP to help pay for groceries. Wynn is one of them. Although he currently works overnight shifts, he says he still needs SNAP to afford food for him and his child. Before he had Medicaid and SNAP, Wynn says his high medical debts meant he struggled to keep up with food and housing expenses. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Public News Service. A federal judge is now weighing whether to block Mississippi's House Bill 1193, a law critics say stifles free speech in schools by banning so-called divisive concepts.
The American Civil Liberties Union lawsuit claims the law's vague language leaves educators and students unsure what they can discuss. Joshua Tom with the ACLU of Mississippi says the law's broad restrictions threaten foundational lessons.
It would prohibit vast swaths of any number of subjects in public schools from being taught. How can you teach about the civil rights movement if you can't increase awareness about race? How can you teach about the women's suffrage movement if you can't increase awareness about gender?
The ACLU is representing several education advocacy groups and students who are seeking a preliminary injunction. The lawsuit cites immediate impacts, including canceled student-led events and teacher self-censorship, as schools await the court's decision. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection is asking the public to weigh in on a federal EPA proposal to curb methane emissions from oil and gas sites.
Methane is a greenhouse gas over 80 times more powerful than carbon dioxide and is thought to be a driver of climate change. Barbara Jarmoska, former head of the Responsible Decarbonization Alliance, says the EPA plan is built on Biden-era Inflation Reduction Act efforts. Its federal funding has been cut, but people can still review the plan and share their feedback during the public comment period. She notes the EPA proposal would decrease pollution, improve air quality, and create jobs.
My testimony was about climate change, the dire need to curb methane. Pennsylvania is the second largest gas-producing state in America, and we release thousands of cubic feet of fugitive methane annually.
She says leaking methane is often accompanied by other volatile organic compounds that pose serious health risks. The public comment period ends July 30th. Danielle Smith reporting.
Finally, a cleaner environment through less waste is the goal of a new state organization, the Indiana Composting Council.
Council President Gowri Samaradharan explains compost starts with decomposed organic matter from food waste and grass clippings to shredded paper. When combined with air and water, these items break down into nutrient-rich soil, which minimizes plant diseases. She says it benefits the climate, too.
Organic waste is the majority of the waste that emits greenhouse gas.
Indiana has 15 recycling centers. I'm Terry D. reporting.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for your NDU Week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.